Eula Prevalon. With us today, oh, good, she's all wired up. Come on up, girl. And I'm gonna do a little bit of yours, and I'm gonna do a little bit of the notes.
Yes, you gotta do it. Yes.
There you go. She is founder and executive director of Elevator International Ministries. A wife and a mother to three young boys. I'm thinking we need to
upgrade. That's all pictures of them that will.
No, they are. Ben, how old are they? What are their names?
They're 15. I have twins that are 15. And my oldest, he's turning 18 in, what's the day? The 20th? So in 10 days.
Oh, my.
September 30th is his 18th birthday.
Oh, my.
And he's the one in college. He just started.
Keep Pelly away from him.
Oh, okay.
Well, she probably signed the divorce papers for... No. We're not gonna go there. She is a life purpose coach, counselor, entrepreneur, international missions expert, motivational speaker, pastor.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Her engaging, honest, and contagious sense of humor, which I remember from Southern. Allowed her to share the teachings of God's word to empower her healing and transformation of people in God's kingdom, her professional career in teaching, counseling, pastoring, and international ministry. Spends 15 years. A little bit of background too, I felt like I was studying for seminary. When I was looking at your bio, it was like, I'm going to have to write an essay on you. So, let me try to do that. You were born in Haiti.
I was.
And you emigrated to the U.S. in the late
70s. Yes.
You attended Rutgers University. And you taught middle school after you graduated, correct?
I did.
And then in 2004, you answered the call to attend Dallas Theological Seminary, where our little students, yes, that was just about the time that I felt the calling as well. And after getting the degree, that's 7 weeks or more, and they used me, y'all, she went to work early about the church as the missions pastor and director, and later joined Redeemer Evangelical Covenant Church as associate pastor over local and international missions. Yep. You have a great gospel.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just going to try it. I mean, it's way too complicated.
No.
There you go. Love the name.
Ben.
Living for International. That is a constant life coaching ministry working with women who have gone through trauma and loss and find themselves unable to move forward. We help women heal from past wounds and live fully in their God-given purposes and experience a new life of joy and peace. That is awesome. We believe that women can heal from past wounds, hear them freely find and pursue their God-given purposes. Awesome! I mean, this is so fits in with what we do because I would just say this overall, for the 20% of the population dealing with disabilities, a lot of these things are bad to find,
right.
Especially for the women. So we're delighted to have you here. I'm talking about your vision. The vision is to help women live in spite of past wounds. Fear, dream without boundaries, and joyfully embrace all of life for the glory of God. That's awesome. And our mission is to empower women to find life even after chaos has taken place. And you then have outreaches locally and globally. And without further ado, I'm going to get out of the way and let them start talking. Now I know that Lovett has integrated the present. Can I have you just take a little bit of time? So I'm going to invite you without taking your feet off.
Now, I put the presentation in there, but it rolls on its own. I wasn't sure if that was what you wanted or not.
No, that's fine. I can talk for a few minutes and then we can have the presentation rolling. Would that be okay?
Okay, all right.
That'd be great.
All right.
I think you can run it from there.
Okay.
Oh, give it a flicker, yes.
Okay. So before I begin, I wanted to read one of my favorite passages for you all. That's a very good question. My name is Judah Perlon. So it's a French name. It means God is here. And the reason my name is Judah or means God is here is because when I was born in Haiti. And I had this grave illness that almost took my life. I was close to dying.
Wow.
And to the point where they even built a little coffin for me because they were expecting that I would die. And, you know, my name before the illness was Magali. And they still call, that's still my nickname, by the way. The family called me Maga. But when I survived the illness, my dad decided to change my name to Jula, which means God is here.
Awesome.
Because if God hadn't been present, I would have died. And so that's my name. Thank you for asking, Shelby. And so one...
Kelly. Shelby's the twin.
So. Shelby. Oh, okay. So there's a twin. Kelly. Okay. All right. One of my favorite passages is Psalm 46. In the Haitian church, every time the worship would come together, we would recite passages, especially passages from the Book of Psalms. Many people in the Haitian church in Haiti do not know how to read or write, so memorizing of scripture was their way of connecting to the Bible. And so this is one of the passages. In the Haitian church, you would see a lot of Haitian church members would memorize. They would know it by heart because of wouldn't have Bibles in their homes, and they wouldn't know how to read. So I'll read it for us, and then I'll continue on with my message. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought upon the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I will pray for us. Father, I just thank you for this divine appointment, that you would allow me to come into this place of worship today and be blessed. Father, I pray for all the members of this church. I pray for the shepherds and the shepherdess of this church. I pray that you may cover them and you may bless them. And for the handicapped community, disabled community, Father, I pray, Father, that they may see you every step of the way. They may see you in their disability. They may see you and they may find freedom, healing, and wholeness through you. And they may continue to live their lives in spite of their disabilities. They may continue to make great strides for you in spite of their disabilities. Father, you have given us all a story like you have given myself. Father, I pray that we may be able to proclaim our story, because that is our gospel of how Jesus met us in our times of need. Thank you for this time. Thank you for being a part of such a great and unique congregation. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I shared a little bit about my history just when I was born. But Haiti and the U.S. is some ways away. So how did I get here? So in the 70s, my parents received a visa, a visitor's visa, to come into the United States. At that time, they had migrated to St. Martin to look for work. And from St. Martin, they found a visa to come to the United States. And St. Martin is in the Caribbean island. Mm-hmm. And so when they visited the U.S., they never went back. They it was four girls at that time, myself included. I was the youngest of four daughters. And so my parents made the sacrifice to leave all four daughters with her aunt, my mom's sister, and my grandmother, my maternal grandmother. And for 10 years, I was 15 months my mother stayed when she left for the U.S. And for 10 years, I did not see her. I did not see pictures of her. I did not know what she looked like. I knew I had a mother, but I did not see her for 10 years as she established here and as she showed proof of residency and that she lived in the U.S. We did not see her. And it wasn't until 1987 that they were established and they had enough money and they had saved enough that they were able to send for the four of us from Haiti. And from 1987, I lived in New Jersey. And that's where I was able to finish elementary school and middle school and high school and went to college at Rutgers University in New Jersey. Towards the end of my college career, I became pregnant and my husband and I married and we had our oldest, who's in college right now. We had the twins after 2 years after. God has been good, and it was after I had the twins, I started teaching, and it was towards the end of my teaching, my fourth year of teaching, that I felt the call to come to Dallas to go to seminary, and that was in 2004. And so I went to Dallas Seminary where I met my friend Linda and several other students where we had no idea what the Lord was getting ready to do in our lives. We had no idea what that call meant. And for me as a woman, as a black woman, I did not know what my place was in this world, if I had a place in this world. But the Lord knew I had a place in this world. He knew I had a story that needed to be shared. And that story had something to do with women. It had something to do with my upbringing. It had something to do with all the women I've seen in my life. And it had something to do with the women I've seen in Haiti. I became missions pastor after I graduated from Dallas Seminary. And when I was a missions pastor, I was able to go to different countries, India, Kenya, Dominican Republic, Haiti a dozen times. And the story for women and for people really was the same. We all hurt, we all have struggles, we've all faced trauma, we've all faced some kind of challenges, we've all faced dark moments, moments where that drive us to our knees, where we're crying out, God, God, have you forsaken us? And I saw that all around the world. I saw it all around the world. So your story of pain, your story of pain is not different from my story of pain. Our story of pain is collectively one story that God wants us to tell. Because it's through those stories that the gospel is shared. It's through those challenges the gospel is shared. Because when we keep going on, when we keep walking by faith, and when we do not give up and do not give in, that's the gospel. Because us not giving up, us not giving in, is not by our own strength. Because by my own strength, I would have given up 15, 20 years ago. But because of the strength of the Lord that we were able to hold on, we're able to keep going, we're able to push through and do marvelous things because of Christ. And because of Christ, when I was a missions pastor, I struggled a lot. In a world where there are, there's a predominantly you know, white male driven world who don't necessarily understand a woman like myself and my story, and who don't necessarily understand that there are women, millions of women around the world who struggle on a daily basis. And this world says that these women have no voice, no say, and these women face violence, they face vulnerabilities, they face all kinds of challenges, and their stories needed to be told. And so I went to Kenya that year, and in Kenya is where I received the vision for Elevate Her. After I did my first trauma conference, and the trauma conference just basically validates people's stories of pain. You've been through pain. I want to say, yes, you have been through some pain. There's something about when you sit across from someone and you've been through some pain, and they can validate your pain and say, yes, I hear you. You've been hurting for a very long time. God hears you, God sees you, and He cares for you. And so that's what we did when we went to Kenya. We validated their stories of pain. We talked about what is trauma. And we talked about how to heal from trauma. We talked about grief. We talked about forgiveness. We talked about, you know, the biblical definition of pain, the biblical definition of servant leadership. And so we talked about all of those things. And towards the end of the week, I knew I was changed. Not only did we go to impact lives in Kenya, but I was changed. I was different. And I wanted to tell the stories of these women. I wanted to tell their stories. And that's when Elevate Her started. That's the time that I can remember that God said, you need to tell their story. And so for the past 4 years, that's what we've been doing. We started out in Dallas Prison. Every Monday night, I would go to Dallas Prison and sit with these women who have stories of hurt, stories of pain, stories of struggling. Many were addicts, many had been victimized, many were violated in many ways, which is one of the reasons they were in prison, because of their own violation as little children. And so we just sat with them. I had no idea what I was doing, what I was getting myself into, but I love those women. I love to hear their stories. I love to hear how they love their children. I love to hear how they were remorseful over and over again by the bridges that they burned. I'd love to sit with them as they were, you know, the light bulb was turning on for them, and say, God has been with me. God has been there all along through all my pain and suffering. That was the beginning of our ministry, where we sat with these women in prison. And for 2 years, we did that. Every Monday night, we would go into Dallas Prison. Some of the stories would have me enraged. Some of the stories had me joyful. Some had me sad. Some of those stories just had me believe in God even more, because there had to be a God that these women who have gone through so many challenges could still be alive talking. Being alive is a gift, you know, I would tell the women. It's a gift, because I get to tell my story. I get to let God shine through me. We get to let God shine. All of us sitting here, we represent the image of God. And so every day alive is a gift, because I get to reflect God. You all reflect God in your unique personality, in your disabilities, in who you are. We reflect God. And that's what I learned in prison. That these women, although their life circumstances were different from mine, but they too reflect God. You know, they too reflect God. And so that was the first part. And then we started going into Haiti. And Haiti was, I never tried to push the ministry onto people who did not need it. And so I treaded very lightly when going to Haiti, because I was afraid that the women did not need it. Boy, was I wrong. The first year I went to Haiti, we had 50 women in our conference. We wrote curriculum, we wrote materials, we brought gifts. The women in my church at Redeemer Covenant Church in Carrollton, they sold little purses, and they gave me as gifts to give to the women. And so we bought toiletries, soap, and deodorants, all kinds of things to bring to the women. And the ladies at our church, the little purses they sold, we took it to the women and we talked about trauma even more. Some wept, some laughed, some were rejoiceful, some were grateful. And the response was the same as in Kenya, as in prison, as in Haiti. And so we're going on our fourth year of ministering to the women in Haiti. This past year, our conference had 220 women. A conference that started with 50 women has grown into 220 women. And this year also, we started something different because I never want to be the only minister. The scripture in Peter that says this is a royal priesthood. We're all priests. And so when I go out into the communities to minister, I want to multiply myself. So I want to teach as many people as possible so they can teach as many people as possible and they can teach many people as possible. That's what Jesus did, right?
Yeah.
He took 12 and he taught them, he sat with them, he developed them, he nurtured them, and he sent them out. He sent them out, and the 12 multiplied, and then they multiplied until 2,000 years later, here we are. And so that's what we did. So this year, we started working with a group of 25 women leaders in Haiti, and we taught them everything we know, and we're still teaching them everything we know about trauma, about Bible study methods, about leadership, how to develop leadership in their community. And we taught them everything we know because we want them to be able to make disciples. Because I don't want to just be a leader. I want to make leaders. We want to make disciples. So our ministry is about disciple making. And so we taught these 25 women for 3 months. I had a missionary through our organization go to Haiti. And she sat with those leaders for 3 months talking about trauma, leadership, and Bible study. And those women, in return, were the ones to help us with the conference this year of 220 women. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It was really amazing. So the slideshow I'm going to show you is of those 25 women and what we've been doing with them as far as making disciples and developing them so they can do what we have been doing. A disciple is a follower of Christ. We just follow Christ, and so Jesus called them disciples. He called the 12 disciples, and so they followed Jesus, and so now we make disciples so they can follow Christ as well. That was a great question. Okay, so do I do anything?
I mean, just push the...
Okay, so the name of our ministry is Elevate Her. For right reason. And so these are the 25 women that we've been working with. This is the beginning of the training. We translated it from English and French, so you'll see. And Betty Jean is the counselor who was leading the training. I want to go back a little bit. Leading the training this year. She's a mental health consultant. She's a counselor in New Jersey. And so she's a licensed professional counselor, and she spent time with the women and training them this past year. And so they did different exercises. The book that we used was from the American Bible Society called Healing the Wounds of Trauma. And so we used a lot of their lessons to do this training. We also supplemented the training with leadership. We developed our own curriculum and did some leadership things, how to call a meeting, for example, how to deliver a message, how to develop a new women's ministry in your church. So we did some other supplemental things in there. And these are the women learning and healing from trauma, and so these are the exercises that they were doing. We did some listening exercises. As you can see, it sometimes it's hard. The hardest thing is to learn to listen to people. In counseling, that's one of the first you know, lessons to learn. And it's not just about counseling. It's just about human beings. You know, when Jesus was on earth, you know, he preached a lot, but he also sat with people and listened to them. I remember in one of the scriptures where Jesus asked Bartimaeus, do you want to be well, right? That was him, right? Do you want to be well? And waited for his response, right? And so part of being humans, part of being a community or healing community is to listen. So we taught the women what it means to listen. And they did different exercises to learn how to listen. When someone is saying, pray for me about so-and-so, we sit down and we listen to them and what they're going through. And so carpooling, these women had so much fun. The women to the far right is a friend of mine, and her name is Sally Todd. She was a pediatric nurse here in Dallas. At Parkland Hospital, and when she retired, she went to Haiti and became a missionary, and it is through her we're doing all of these things, because she lives in Haiti right now, and she is the facilitator. She helps facilitate some of our activities in Haiti. They did some art therapy, as you can see. They drew, and these are women who have never been in kindergarten. They never learned to do art. They never learned to paint. They never learned to draw. And so as an adult, they're doing art therapy to describe what they're feeling, what their emotions are. And so they had a great time doing that. We talked about children and trauma. That's one of the exercises or one of the lessons we always emphasize, is because in Haiti, everywhere really, there's trauma against children. I mean, children with abuse, there's, you know, abuse on children, wherever you go, because in many countries, children are to be seen and not heard. And so so we had to do some lessons on children and trauma, how children respond to their trauma, what they do, what signs they would show when there's trauma, because it's different from how adults respond to trauma. Some more exercises they were doing, talking about trauma. And then we talked about the leadership exercises. In a country like Haiti, everyone wants to be president. This past year for the presidential nomination, we had over 50 people on the nomination. Yes, over 50 who wanted to be president. They were nominated to be president. And right now they're down to maybe three, I think. Right now we have two in our country. Imagine having to figure out if 50 people can be president. That's absurd. And so we had to do some leadership exercises with them to teach them that in leadership, we're one. How do we bring people in different communities? What does it look like to create teams, to develop teams, to listen to your leader, to be a follower, and all of those exercises. So those are some of the leadership things, exercises we were showing them. All of those were leadership. Now, part of trauma is lamenting, learning how to cry. The Book of Psalms is one that I love very much, because the Book of Psalms, that's what it teaches you. To lament, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what David was doing. He was lamenting. He was crying out to God. He was just saying some deep things inside of his heart that needed to be said. You know, because when you're in pain, what are you going to say? Oh, Jesus, I love this pain. Give me more pain. That's not what you're going to say. You're going to say, Jesus, you have forsaken me. This pain is unbearable. Why have you allowed this pain to come to my life? So these women had to learn to lament, to cry out to God, to write down their laments, to say, God, you know, today I'm in pain. I am in pain. And the awesome thing we see about the Psalms, not only do they teach us how to lament, but they teach us how to come back to faith after lamenting. Right? Because after I cry and yell at God and tell God all these bad words, now who is our anchor? God. I need to come back to God, because where else am I going to turn to, right? Where else can I go? Where else will I turn? God was the deal. That's what he asked. That's a good one. God was the deal. Because when you lament, you know, you come back to God and say, God, in you I trust. I have no one else. Whom else do I have on this earth but you? You know, so we lament, we cry out to God, we get mad, we get angry, and then we turn the full circle and say, God, who else do I have but you? We have no one else but God. So we taught these women that it's okay to have those emotions. Dear Heavenly Father, you know, these women were learning to lament to God. That's me on the far left. I came to visit in one of the training, and so I was able to be there for one of the training. And so these women took their pain to the cross. After they wrote down their laments, they took them to the cross. And you know what we did to them? We nailed them. I'm going to show you. We nailed them to the cross.
Yeah.
And they took all of their laments, and they, one by one, these women nailed them to the cross. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
What a freeing exercise to be able to lament and then take them to the cross. And then we did some more exercises on healing and forgiveness. What we wanted the women to do was not only to just learn about trauma, but we wanted them to experience it, to have an experience, and to also learn how to help others. And so we connected with a ministry that I love in Haiti called Heartline Maternity Center. This ministry just basically helps women deliver their babies safely. I have several family members who died in childbirth while giving childbirth. So this ministry is vital in Haiti because it helps women just have safe delivery. Something that we take for granted in the U.S., because when we get pregnant and we want to have our babies, we go to a hospital. But 50 years ago, it wasn't like that in the U.S. even, because, you know, even then, there were issues. You're 50 years old, Kelly. A cesarean?
No. Mom had a really young daughter,
Yes, it wasn't different back then. Because 50 years ago or so, women had big issues giving birth to their children safely. And so that's what this clinic does. And so what we did with our women is to take them, and these same women were able to minister to these women at the maternity clinic. And so whatever we taught them, now they were making their disciples. They were making disciples already. They had a lunch outing. One woman said she had never been to such a place. We're not talking about women with money here. We're talking about poor people. This feast that they had that we paid for, our ministry paid for, was something luxurious for them that they've never had before. And one woman said, now I feel like I have a place in society because we've done something like this. So it's vital as we're discipling these women for them to go through the experience, for them to have a level of healing in order to be able to be of help to heal others as well. And so these are that's the cohort of 2016. And there's still some more pictures of them. So this is the women's conference I was telling you all about. Last year, the first year, we started out with 50 women, and this past year we had 220 women. And so the women leaders were the ones to help. That's me on the left with one of my sons, us entering into Haiti. Not only did we do the women's conference this year, we also did a children's camp. and we had over 400 children that showed up. The children of the women who attended the conference and other children from the community, once they heard children game, all the kids just showed up. They had a balloon fight. They had a rope contest. They did all kinds of fun games, and this is what we did. These are the children that were part of the conference this year. We registered all the women. They all received packets, and these are all the women helping in this year's conference. We prayed over them. They helped with the teaching, and they learned so many materials. This year, we did a training about parenting and marriage. This was our first time. I want to show you how large it was. That we couldn't take the whole group in the picture, but that's a little bit of the, just how big the group was. We did a session on parenting and marriage this year. We had so many questions just about parenting. Like I was saying, in our country, like Haiti, children are often victimized. And so we had to teach them, what does Jesus say about raising children? To love them, to cherish them, to honor them, to listen to them. If they cry, the tears are coming from somewhere. So it was just basic, but you know, in when there's poverty and when there's lack and these parents are challenged for money, the last thing they want to be is good parents. But we challenge them that Jesus needs you to be a good parent to these children. Jesus needs you to love them, to honor them, to listen to them. And it was such an impactful session that next year we'll continue to do that. And next year, our plan is to do a marriage conference with the men involved as well. So we're evolving a little bit. And so we prayed for each other. We covered each other in prayer. This was the last session before we ended. The women made a master plan for how they're going to continue in the future, and we did a graduation ceremony for them towards the end. We gave them certificates. These are the women, 25 women, and we gave them certificates, and they're right now continuing to meet in our absence. And so that's a little bit of what we do with Elevate Her. We are making disciples. We're talking to these women. We're training them when we're elevating them to a different place that God has called them, a place of healing, a place where these women can be of help to others in their community. So I don't know what you would like to do at this point, Linda. That's the end of the slideshow, but if you want to take questions or what do you want to do?
We pretty much have a program I know that we need to speak with. But what I wanted to give people an opportunity to do was keep in touch with you online. So I just have up there your website, which you might want to share, and Facebook maybe if people want to connect with you in the future.
So I am online. Our website is elevatekurtinternational.com. My blog, although I haven't been posting as much as I should be, but it's hard to keep all the hats, but my email would be a good way to find me as well. It's my first and last name at Gmail, Eula Prevalon at Gmail.
Oh, okay. I didn't put that up.
So, but thank you. And this is the family. They're a little bit bigger now. But that's the family right there. Thank you all so very much for just giving me some time to share about me and the ministry and what God has done through my life.
That's awesome. Of course, there is also a place to donate.
Yes, there is also a place to donate.
You can do that through PayPal.
Yes, we can do that through PayPal. Like I said, this year we're evolving a little bit. You know, we have plans to do 4 different trips and marriage conferences and children's conferences. So God has been doing some amazing things through us. So thank you so much.
Brilliant.